Good morning. You know, as one of the elders here, that lyric we just listened to has a lot of meaning for me. We have been in a season since August 2015 when our pastor, Jed Mullenix, stepped away, where we've been praying for our next teaching pastor. And so we are excited to let you know that next week, a candidate for teaching pastor will be here with us. His name is Jake Scott. He and his wife are local to our community. He was part of Grace Community as both a youth pastor and a community life pastor. And then he went and planted a church in Lowell called Fusion. And he has been able to plant a healthy church, but now feels a call to the next step. And so he is coming here next week. I hope you'll come. I hope you'll hear him and be praying for us and for his family for whatever the next steps are. So this morning, we continue in our series from Elijah. And today, we're going to look at this one idea. God's strength working through us changes the world. Have you ever thought about that? That God made you on purpose for a purpose to advance his kingdom, and you get to contribute a verse. One of my very favorite verses in Scripture is found in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. I want to read it to you right now. It says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. It's a pretty powerful prayer, isn't it? And so I don't know if you've ever been in a season of dryness. My family and I, we live up in New Hampshire, and I can remember quite a few years ago, there was a season of drought that was severe enough that we were not allowed to water our lawns anymore. And so our lawn was turning brown, and our town was serious. You could not turn on the sprinkler for the kids to play, even if it was hot out. And they drove around in the morning and in the evening and made sure that nobody was watering their lawn at all. There was a season of drought, and water was precious. And I've never lived in Arizona or California. Some of you have, and you've walked through really deep seasons of drought. Well, that is what Elijah and the people of Israel are experiencing in this season. 3.5 years with no rain. And so as we look at this today, we realize something, that our God is the one and only true God. See, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, you know that one of the things that this false God that had been brought into Israel by Ahab's wife Jezebel, one of those false gods was called Baal. And Mike shared with us, Baal was the god of dew and of rain. And so when Elijah prayed, it was against this one thing. Dew and rain is not going to be here for the next 3.5 years. And Elijah prays, and he shows the people, especially King Ahab, that there is no God like our God. And so as we are now in week 3 of this series, we are looking at who God is through the lens of Elijah, his prophet, the God of miracles, the God who changes things. The God we worship this morning is the same God who makes himself known through big, awe-inspiring events like fire coming down from heaven, and makes himself known in the small whispers as well. Have you sensed him that way before? God is real. He is active and present, and he is deeply invested in this world and his people. So as I said, we're looking right now at God through the lens of the prophet Elijah, who was God's voice, a prophet, a mouthpiece to the people of Israel, and he spoke words of truth. But Mike reminded us 2 weeks ago, that's not easy. It wasn't easy to be a prophet. Prophets were often rejected and mistreated. They were met with resistance, and it's not that different today, is it? When we speak truth, we can't expect it will be easy. Yet God spoke through him, both to a powerful king and to a widow, someone who couldn't have been more powerless in that season. And God does this to show us his character. The character of God is this: he is patient. God is love, and he is powerful, and we're going to see all of that today. And we will learn that when we pray, God moves. So I hope today that we will leave here and know that God is still looking for people who understand who they are, who hear his voice, and take small steps of faith to make his name great. So we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, those are the blue books in the back on the bookshelf. Feel free to take one home with you. You might have a Bible or a Bible app with you, but we'll also put scripture on the screen for you to look at. We're going to start in chapter 18, verse 1. The contest on Mount Carmel. Later, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab and tell him, I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab, and the famine had become so severe in Samaria that Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his servant who was in charge of the palace, and together they went out. The famine was so severe that all the livestock had nothing. And Ahab knew that his horses and his mules needed food. And so in verse 5, it says, Ahab and Obadiah were out checking springs and valleys to see if they could find enough grass to feed some of his horses and his mules. And they decided to divide. Ahab would go one way, Obadiah would go the other. And when Obadiah was by himself, verse 7 says he was walking along and he saw Elijah coming. Obadiah recognized him, and at once he bowed down and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" Elijah had not been able to be found by King Ahab for over 3 years. And so there he is. And Obadiah says, "Is it you?" And Elijah says, "Yes, it is. Now go and tell your master." Sounds like a simple request, but it brought great fear to Obadiah. See, Obadiah understood that the Spirit of God was upon Elijah. And so he was scared. And it says in verse 9, "Oh, sir, what harm have I done that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab?" Ahab had spent 3 years going to the other kingdoms and making them swear that Elijah was not there. He wanted Elijah to be found, but Obadiah knew that Yahweh, the Lord, was the one true God, and his hand was on Elijah. And so he said, "What have I done that you are going to send me to my death? I know that God's Spirit is with you. And I know," verse 11 says, "as you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here, that as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where, and Ahab will come. And if he cannot find you, he will kill me." See, Obadiah knew that God was with Elijah, and he had a choice. He had to choose to be brave. Have you had to do that before? You knew God was with you, but you were scared. Now, Obadiah is a faithful servant of God. He's going to tell Elijah right now something that we didn't know about him. Verse 13, "Has no one told you, my lord, that the time when Jezebel came and was trying to kill the Lord's prophets, that I took 100 of them and I hid them in 2 caves and I brought them food and water?" When we look through the Old Testament, we see this, that prophets lived together in communities, very much like our church. And so there were 2 communities that were hidden in these caves, about 50 prophets each. And Obadiah, even though he was serving under Ahab, a king who did not honor what God said, he was honoring God and he took care of those prophets. He was brave, and yet at this moment he was afraid. So Elijah says to him, "I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day." So Obadiah went and he told Ahab. And Ahab came to meet Elijah. And this is what he says in verse 17. He says, "When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, 'Is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel?'" Has anyone ever spoken something that wasn't true over you? Have they ever texted something that wasn't true and you just looked at it over and over again? Has someone in your life ever looked at you and said, "You'll never be anything. You're not enough. You're not loved." Something that shamed you or gave you guilt or fear. See, Elijah was just told something that was not true, and he had a choice to make, didn't he? Was he going to believe God or believe this powerful king? And in verse 18, we find out what happens. Elijah knows the truth. He says, "I have made no trouble for Israel. You and your family are the troublemakers. You've refused to obey the commands of the Lord, and you've worshipped the image of Baal instead." See, there was a choice that Ahab had. He was put in place by God so that the people of Israel would follow the one true God. And he didn't step away completely from that. He just brought along something else, something just in case. And we do that, don't we? Things like money and power and friendships. And we think something else, just in case, might be the most important thing. And no, there is no one like our God. He alone should be worthy of our praise. And so when we look here, we find out that Elijah says to Ahab, "Summon all of Israel and join me at Mount Carmel. And bring with you the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel, that evil queen who brought with her this false worship of Baal." Do you know what 850 people looks like? I graduated from Lowell High School and my graduating class was about that. So I can think in my head, 850 people and me. And when that was happening to Elijah, do you know what he started to think? He started to think something that wasn't true. Sometimes the circumstances in our life are so overwhelming, we start to believe something that isn't true. And Elijah begins to think he's the only one. So while he stands there, he goes to the people and he's scared. It's okay to do brave things when we're scared. He stands there and he says truth to the people of Israel. Verse 9, he says, How much longer will you hobble? Will you go back and forth between Baal and Yahweh? If Yahweh, the Lord, is God, then follow him. And if Baal is, then follow him. But the people, as he spoke this, were completely silent. If Yahweh is God, follow him. Have no other gods before him. That was that first commandment. Have no other gods. But how many times do we let other things get in the way? See, this has been a season for me as well. A season where I had to be brave and do things I didn't even know I could do. And I had to wait. But you know what I do sometimes? I take steps in my own strength. And God has not asked me to do that. He's told me to wait and be filled with his strength. The false god I sometimes bow down to is busyness. Have you ever done that as well? Let the other things and the worries of life get in the way of the one true God. Maybe there's something else right now that God is bringing to your mind. Let nothing else get in the way of the worship of the one true God. If Yahweh is the Lord God, then follow him. And so we look at verse 22, and we see that Ahab isn't the only one that doesn't speak truth. Elijah is a human, just like us. And so he says in verse 22, he says, I am the only prophet of the Lord. There's Baal's prophets, 450 of them. I am the only one who's left. Now he knows this isn't true. Obadiah has just told him, there are 100 prophets in 2 caves right near you. But we feel that, don't we? Sometimes our feelings make us think things that are not true are true. He is not alone. And more importantly than that, God is with him. And so the truth that he needed to remember is what we need to remember. It's from the book of Daniel. The Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of man, and he gives them to anyone he wishes. So in verse 23, Elijah has all the people of Israel there, the 850 false prophets and him with an audience of God's people watching. And he says, this is what we're going to do. Take 2 bulls. And prophets of Baal, there's more of you. You choose whichever one you wish and cut it into pieces and put it on the wood of your altar, but do not set fire to it. And Elijah says, I'll prepare the other bull and put it on the wood of the altar and I will not set fire to it. And then you call on the name of your God and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed. So Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. He says, there's many of you. You choose the bull, prepare it, don't set fire to the wood, and call on the name of your God. It was morning when they put the bull on the altar. And they called on the name of Baal from morning till noontime. There was no reply. And then they began to dance, and around noon, Elijah, a human like us, begins to taunt them. And he says things like, maybe you have to shout louder. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's asleep. And so the prophets of Baal, they start shouting louder and louder. And then, because Baal demanded blood, they begin to cut themselves with knives and they begin to bleed. Knives and swords continue until the evening comes and there is no sound. There is no reply. There is no response. And we get to verse 30. Elijah calls the people of Israel and he says, come over here. And scripture says they crowded around. And he began to repair the altar of the Lord. He took 12 stones, and he did this because he knew they understood what he was doing. You have to go back in the Old Testament to see Joshua bring the people through the river. And as they did, when God split the sea so they could walk right through it, the 12 tribes each chose a stone. And when they got to the other side, they took those stones and they built an altar. And part of why they built the altar is so that when the children saw it, children who didn't remember what happened, they would say, Mom and Dad, what is that? And the parents would say, Yahweh, the one true God, he rescued us. He brought us back to himself. We are his children and he is our God. And so as Elijah recreates his altar with the 12 stones, he's reminding them of the truth because they forgot. Do you forget? I forget. God does miraculous and amazing things, and in the busyness of my life, I forget. In this season that we've walked through as a church and we did not know what is the next step, I've had one little pink journal where I write down the comments from meetings I've been at. And then I go back and look and I see God moving in ways I couldn't have even imagined. I couldn't have even asked or prayed for the way that he has provided. And that is what God has done from the beginning of time. And so that's why there's altars. That's why we have children's ministry, to remind them of who God is and how great and mighty and powerful he is. Maybe you have a journal. Maybe you write down things. Don't forget to go back and read it and celebrate what God has done. And how do we do that? How do we remember what God is doing in our life and remember and tell the next generation? So Elijah builds this altar, and he takes the bull, and then he builds a trench around it. And he puts the wood on the altar, and he puts the pieces of the bull on top of that. And then he says, go get 4 large jugs of water. And he fills them up, and he pours it over the offering. And then he says, do it again, and 4 more jugs are poured over that altar. And then he says, do it again. And 4 more jugs are poured over the offering. Now, can you imagine this? This is a season of 3.5 years with no rain. And by faith, Elijah takes 12 jugs of water and pours it on this offering because he knew that God is who he says he is and God will do what he says he will do. And then Elijah walks to that altar and he prays. And God's strength is seen working through Elijah as he prays, O Lord, God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done this all at your command. Oh Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know you, that you, oh Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Is that not the most beautiful verse? Why did Elijah want God's name to be great? So the people could find their way back to God. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. Scripture says immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the bull and the wood and the stones and the water and the dust. Can you imagine that? The power of fire coming down from heaven, and immediately that fire consumes the bull and the wood and the stones and the dust and all that water. And when the people saw it, Scripture says, they fell face down on the ground and they cried out, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. Elijah, a human like you and me, he prayed and God showed up and the people were returned to him. The people returned to God. They didn't just return to God, they fell face down. And they worshiped him. They knew that Yahweh is the Lord. And yet, as I began to study this week with our teaching team, things that never occurred to me before started to pop up. Have you done that? Have you read scripture so many times that sometimes you overlook something and you need someone else with fresh eyes to look at it? When we look, we realize that Elijah changes instantly after God sends the fire. It's said that power corrupts. An absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that's what we see right here. Elijah may have been full of adrenaline, but what he does next is so shocking. In verse 40, it says, Elijah commanded, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley, and he killed them there. Now, whether that's 450 people or 850 people, that's a lot of people to slaughter. Do you wonder what happened to his soul as that death occurred right there after the power of God, which was provided so people would return to him? And then Elijah, in his adrenaline, in his strength, we don't know. Scripture's not as clear. All of a sudden, there's this amount of death. And I don't know about you. I haven't gone around killing and slaughtering prophets of Baal. But I have seen God do great things. And then I take a step of faith. But you know what I do sometimes after that? I take a step in my own strength. And then I take another step in my own strength. And when I do that repeatedly, I'm no longer walking in the strength of Jesus. I'm walking in my own strength. And the joy and the peace and the love of God, it begins to be less and less seen in me because I'm tired. And then I become short with people and I injure people. And I also see that in my journals as I write it. But God is a gracious and forgiving and loving Father. And he calls me back to him and says, do it in my strength, not yours. Maybe today that's the word for you, to pause during communion and ask God, is there anything I'm doing in my own strength? because it will not look anything like what I will do in your strength. When fire came from heaven, the people fell face down and worshiped God. That's what happens when we work in the strength of Jesus. And so one of my favorite pastors is named Christine Kane. And this week she had a little message on Instagram that spoke so deeply to my heart about not relying on my strength, but looking to where my eyes are. Are my eyes on Jesus? And it brought to mind one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Psalm 121. The way I learned it, it says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our strength comes from the Lord, whether we are Elijah or just a human like you and me. It is God's strength working through us that changes the world. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Do we believe that today? Do we know that we were created to be in relationship with the one true God, and that any other worship of something made in our image is a twisted and corruption of God's creation? It's twisted and corrupt for us to put anything else before God. But when we pray and we ask God to do what Jesus taught us to do, when we say, Lord, would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God begins to work through us. And the kingdom of God advances, and we get to contribute a verse. It is God's strength through us that changes the world. So what does that look like in your life today? Do you realize you were created on purpose for a purpose? What does it look like for you each morning to say, God, where am I walking in your strength, and where am I doing life in my own strength? See, when I'm walking in the power of Jesus, there's love. And there's peace. And I notice the provision of God. And things that look impossible are not. Imagine Elijah standing there with 850 false prophets, but he prayed. And immediately fire from heaven came down and consumed everything. That's what it looks like when we walk in the strength of God. So maybe you're realizing today there's been a season and you've been walking in your own strength. What do we do? Scripture is clear. Confess. Confess, that's what I'm doing today. I've done some of this season in my own strength. And then repent. And that's a simple word that means stop going in this direction and turn around and go the other way. Walk in the strength of Jesus. When we go back to the book of James, looking at chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, we see this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then the very next verse says this, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Harbor, we need to continue to be a community of prayer. If you don't have anyone to pray with you, I invite you to join us on Tuesday nights. We're just one room over, and we're praying for our nation and for our church and for things in our lives where we need God's strength. But many of you are in journey groups, and that is a wonderful place to be confessing your sins to one another and praying for each other and praying for healing. But prayer is how our world will change. And in the strength of God, we pray bold prayers, and we say, not my will, but yours be done. We saw that model, didn't we, in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who was not like you or me or Elijah. He was fully human, but he was fully divine. And yet, each morning he would get up and be with his Father. And when he taught us to pray, he taught us to pray like this, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, I love that Jesus spoke about Elijah. I don't know if you know that. In the New Testament, the first four books are the Gospels, the Good News, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus speaks about Elijah, and he shares what Emma shared last week, how God used Elijah to provide for a widow, not just food, but he brought her son back to life. God cares about the widow and the king and everyone on this earth. But when I went back to look at that chapter in Luke chapter 4, I was surprised by verse 16. See, that's the verse that God used to call me into ministry many years ago when I was just a young mom. I'd come across it in the book of Isaiah in one of the Bethmore Bible studies I was doing, and God clearly spoke this word over me. And then years later, when I saw it in the book of Luke, I was actually ashamed. How could I have the same call in my life that Jesus proclaimed who he was in that synagogue? And God reminded me, it is Jesus in me. It is not my strength. But let's look at this verse from Luke 4. It says that Jesus walked into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he went to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled that scroll, and he found the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And he has sent me and anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. He can break every chain. The blind will see and the oppressed will be set free. And to proclaim that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Do you sit here today knowing you were created on purpose, for a purpose? To proclaim freedom for the captives, to call people back to God. And when that verse began to move in my life, it was because I never realized that the Holy Spirit wasn't just for me. It wasn't just so that I would feel joy and peace and patience, that God had a bigger plan for me to go out and proclaim truth. And that's why I love being part of our church. We exist to help people find their way back to God so that we can live fully and love deeply and give freely. And when Luke shared that Jesus talked about Elijah, he was reminding these people that God uses ordinary people like you and me and Elijah. God has a plan for you, because Elijah was a man just like us. He had faith, but he had flaws. He had strengths and he had weaknesses. And scripture is full of people just like Elijah that God used in spite of their failures. But that is not true of Jesus. Scripture points to the one who knew no sin, who put on flesh and dwelt with us. He came and lived a perfect life. And he gave up that life for you and for me to reconcile us to God so that we would know today who we are, the loved children of the Most High God. Do you know that is who you are today? And do we realize that with the power of God in us, we are no longer slaves to fear, no longer slaves to anger, no longer slaves to shame? We are who God says we are. See, Elijah did not stop the rain. God did. God sent the power, the powerful fire. God brought the people back to him. And maybe today you're sitting here and you're realizing that there is a still small voice calling you back to him. Know that Christ's sacrifice was for you. He loves you. Accept it. Believe that he loves you. Know that he died for you because he wants you to know that you are his loved child. And if you sit here today and you know that Jesus is Lord of your life, then I want you to know that you are who God says you are. And when we believe that, when we know we are the loved children of the Most High God, we go out and we love others and we pray bold prayers. And we stand in the gap for those who are far from God. And that's my prayer for us today, that we will realize that what God has called us to do, he will equip us to do. If God has called you to raise a family, he will equip you to do that. If God has called you to be a light place in your workplace, he will equip you to do that. If God has called you to preach good news and to proclaim freedom for the captives, he will equip you to do that. You know, next week we'll see how this story ends, but I know some of you won't be here, so we'll tell you a little bit about the ending. Elijah was a man like us, and he prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it did not. And then after God had sent the fire down, Elijah told Ahab, "I see a cloud." He didn't see it by sight. He saw it by faith. And Ahab, as he headed back, Elijah told his servant, "Look for that cloud." And 6 times he looked and didn't see anything. Maybe you're on your 6th time right now of waiting for God to show up. But on the 7th time he looked, and there was a cloud, and it was going to come and bring back life and rain. God is with us. He has never left us. He will never forsake us. So we can leave here today knowing that by faith, with the strength of God, we can do whatever it is that he asks us to do. Elijah was a human just like you and me, but he was a loved child of God. And when you and I believe that of ourselves, we know that God's strength will work through us and change the world. Will you pray with me? God, it is an honor to sit in this place. We know we are here because of the people who have gone before us and have sacrificed their time and their talent and their treasure, who have prayed for those who would come to know you. And Lord, we look with faith at those who will one day be returning to you, because you made this world to know that you are good, and that your desire is to reconcile us back to you. I praise you that you can work even in spite of our weaknesses so that your name would be great. And so, Lord, as a community, we pray for whatever it is that you have next for us, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you that Jesus Christ paid for every thought, word, and deed that ever separated us from you. And so we ask that your strength would work in us this day and as we go forward, that your kingdom would advance and we would contribute a verse. In Jesus' name, amen.